Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Pony Express.
I just felt pretty comfortable. Never do I feel like I need to carry the team. We're all putting everything into the game, and we're all trying to do the right things and put ourselves in the best position to win. So never do I feel like I'm choosing to carry the team. It's just I had felt good and had rhythm on the shots I was taking, and I was just they're just able to go in.
And that was Carson Edwards, who put on a show last night in a losing effort for Purdue in an overtime loss to Virginia. Heartbreaker. Carson Edwards can take solace in his 42 points and 10 three-pointers. I'm Andrew Filippone, and I come to you today from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Two teams into the Final Four, Virginia and Texas Tech. Two more to be determined later today on CBS. Kentucky, Auburn, and all SEC showdown. And then two titanic coaches, two kings in the industry, Mike Krzyzewski and Tom Izzo, Duke and Michigan State. You can hit us up on Twitter at the Pony Express for me. Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for finding us today, SiriusXM Channel 206 and the Radio.com app, which is really cool. You can download it for free and take us with you anywhere. Take us with you on the go. So, Carson Edwards has the game of a lifetime on one of the biggest stages in college basketball, the Elite Eight. All eyes were on him last night. Virginia didn't have an answer. Was shooting from deep. I mean, he'd cross half court and pull up. And a lot of those shots went in. 42 points. Edwards, the first player since 1990 with two 40-point games in the tournament. His three-point total from this tournament set a record. Passed guys like Glenn Rice and Steph Curry on his way to that record. And speaking of Steph Curry, Carson Edwards matched him last night in another way. He was named the most outstanding player of the South Regional. Edwards becoming the first losing player to receive that honor since Steph Curry 11 years ago. Now, that is something I have a problem with. And I want to get your thoughts on it this morning, too. A player from a losing team receiving the NCAA's equivalent of the MVP award. They treat each regional like it's its own tournament. There's an all-tournament team and a most outstanding player award that goes with each region. All four quadrants of the bracket. So the West Regional has an MVP. The East Regional has an MVP. Purdue loses, and yet Edwards still takes home that honor. I'm perplexed by that. How can you be the most outstanding player and your team is the second place finisher, the loser, the runner-up? It was an incredible individual performance. Points-wise, it was one of the most prolific runs we've ever seen through four games in an NCAA tournament. But they didn't win. You've got guys on Virginia who made more winning plays than Carson Edwards. And so when you come up short and you fall short of your goal, you don't get to the finish line, You're not the last team standing. I don't think you can have the most outstanding player. Because it wasn't outstanding enough to win. It wasn't good enough to win. So Carson Edwards, who had a marvelous game, I'm going to repeat that a few times here so that point doesn't get lost in what I'm saying. Purdue's down three in overtime with a few seconds left. Edwards throws the ball away. Virginia pressures him. He tries to get it to Ryan Klein, another excellent shooter. But there's too much zip on the pass. There's too much mustard. It goes off his hands and out of bounds. Game's on the line. He doesn't make a play. And then on the flip side of that, you have Mamadi Diakite, who, with time running out, puts in a leaning 10-foot shot, a bending shot, to put the game into overtime. And if that's all Diakite did, if that's all he did in this tournament, you could still make a point. You could still make an argument that he was the most outstanding player, the most deserving player of that award, because without him, Virginia's done. Without that shot, their season's over. So that's how important and vital he was to everything they did. The most critical play, the most important play, he made it. But that's not all the guy did. Look at Virginia's journey through the tournament. They're getting blistered. They're getting crushed by Gardner Webb. They're down at the half. Diakite goes in. They insert him into the starting lineup for the second half of that game. 17-9, 8 of 10 shooting. The next game, they insert him into the starting lineup. 14-9 against Oklahoma. Against Oregon. He's in double figures. Last night, he plays 42 minutes. He has the buzzer beater, 4 blocks, 14 points. He also tips the ball out, gets the offensive rebound, and allows for Virginia to set up the play, to run the play that puts the game into overtime. A guy from a losing team should not get the most outstanding player award. A guy from a losing team shouldn't get it. A lot of points, a lot of production from Carson Edwards, but not a winning performance. And really, to me, that's what matters. That's what matters. Are we giving out outstanding player awards for just ridiculous point contributions? So if you go out there as one guy, and you drop 30 on somebody, if your team gets beat by 10, you still did your job. I don't see it that way. You get credit for doing maybe everything you could do to help your team win, but it still wasn't enough. And that might not be your fault. You control what you can control. That would be like me saying, you know, Florida State blew out Murray State last week. But Ja Morant was the best player on the court, so I'm going to give him the MVP of the game, even though they got beat by double digits. You know, Michigan State might beat Duke today, but man, where would they be without Zion Williamson? He should get the most outstanding player award no matter what. Because seriously, does Michigan State have a player as good as him? Cassius Winston, Nick Ward, Tillman, Matt McQuaid. Now, Duke's got the best player, so regardless of how that game goes, Zion deserves the most outstanding player award. That's not how it works. What does the performance get you? For Purdue, it wasn't good enough to get them into the Final Four. So I've just never agreed with that. And I want to know how you feel. It doesn't that. You know, this is really a bigger question. It's a bigger picture question. Should a guy on a losing team win an MVP award or most outstanding player award? Carson Edwards' team lost. Virginia won. They had guys throughout the tournament who made big plays. They had guys who stepped up and delivered in crunch time, who went above and beyond what you expected from them in this tournament. And yet, the second place team gets the Outstanding Player Award, and nobody off of your team gets it or deserved it enough. How is that possible? I want to get your thoughts on it. Do you agree with Carson Edwards getting the Most Outstanding Player Award when his team didn't win? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. That's like, for me, in baseball or the NFL, a guy's team misses the playoffs and he's the MVP. Well, how valuable was he? Team loses 85 games and A-Rod wins an MVP. Mike Trout's the best player, but if his team didn't play a meaningful game after August 1st, how vital or how impactful or how important was his performance? It was really just hollow, empty stats. He's an awesome player, but they were playing out the string. The games didn't matter. You reward the winner, I think. The coach of the year isn't a guy whose team went 7-9. Yeah, maybe he got more out of the roster than you expected, but still, it wasn't good enough. They were, at the end of the day, an average team. Carson Edwards had an unbelievable performance last night. But at the end, he was still on his way back to Purdue. He's not headed to Minneapolis. And, you know, if I'm in a position where I was asked to vote on this award, I'm looking at the Virginia players and that's it. Okay, who was their best guy? Who was the player that without this person's performance, they're on the losing end of things. They're crying after the game. They're reflecting on their careers. They're getting on with the next chapter of their life. How do you give the Most Outstanding Player Award to a guy whose team didn't win? Answer me that question. I got a big problem with it, do you? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Do you believe in giving an MVP award or a Most Outstanding Player award to a guy on a losing team? Because that's what happened last night in the NCAA tournament. Somebody had such an unbelievable individual performance that the voters said, the hell with it, we'll give him the award anyways. Is that right or wrong? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. I think it's bullcrap. I think it's BS. And I want to know if you agree with me or not. 855-212-4227. A lot of talk about how great of a game last night was. We will dive into that and rank it as well. I'm Andrew Filipponi. You can find me on Twitter at The Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. It's The Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Pony Express.
If nobody asked that, I was going to ask to add something and just speak on to what he did tonight. That was the best performance I've ever seen. That was the performance I've ever played against. Kihei and Dre are both great on-ball defenders, and he just hit everything. Going to the basket, step-back threes. Unbelievable. I told him after the game, he's a hell of a player.
Virginia guard Ty Jerome on Carson Edwards, 42 points last night in a losing effort, 10 threes, one off the NCAA tournament record of 11. Edwards was given the Most Outstanding Player Award for the South Regional. Where do you come down on that? Giving out individual awards to players on losing teams. Like, in a Super Bowl, the Rams lose. But let's say Aaron Donald was the best player on the field, so he gets the award. World Series MVP. You know, let's say Cody Bellinger hits five home runs, but the Red Sox win the World Series. Does Bellinger deserve the MVP award? And we had this debate a few years ago with LeBron against the Warriors, and he didn't get it. And it was 1-on-5, and he didn't have the supporting cast, and it was individual versus team. But he still lost. And I think in the tournament, to the victor goes the spoils. And I'd be disappointed if I were on the Virginia side. We prevailed. We found a way to win. We made the requisite plays. We came through late. They didn't. And yet Purdue gets the acknowledgement and we don't. One of their players got picked. I don't care how many points he scored. We scored more. We might not have, we didn't have someone score 42, but okay, that's because we shared the ball better. We were more balanced. Now we're going to get penalized for that? I don't know how a guy on a losing team gets the most outstanding player award, do you? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. That's brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com. Here is Clark in Tennessee. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Clark.
What's going down, boss? You doing all right?
Yeah, man.
Man, first of all, I totally, totally agree with you. How the hell do you get the MVP and you're not even runner-up? I mean, Purdue wasn't even supposed to be there. Let's just keep it real. The guy steps out of bounds in the Tennessee game. The referee blew the call, gave him a three-pointer, which you never put the game in a referee's hands at the end of the game. He shouldn't even supposed to be in the game. Then he has a crucial turnover at the end of the game. He shoots, what, 32 times, 33 times, and this guy's MVP? I don't care. Like you said, I don't care how many points he had. Virginia was the better team. They put up better numbers, and Purdue shouldn't even supposed to even been there. Go Vols.
All right. Thank you. I guess I should have seen that coming, that was going to obviously be an anti-Purdue call from somebody who feels aggrieved by the officiating in the Purdue-Tennessee game. Which, I guess that was a complaint about the corner three at the end of regulation there. That was a foul. The one thing I thought with the end of regulation for that game was I felt like when Edwards drove to the basket, the ball went off his foot. I've yet to see a replay that suggests otherwise. And that gets back into the absurdity of instant replay in sports, is that some things are reviewable and other things aren't. Texas Tech last night, Owens blocked a three in the corner and then saved the ball, went out of bounds, threw it back in, but he was clearly out of bounds, and it wasn't reviewed because it can't be reviewed. And that's one of the things I just don't get about how we infuse technology into big-time sporting events. It's like, yeah, you can apply it here, but not there. Either use instant replay all the way or don't use it at all. That's always been my bone of contention with it. Here is Rob in Florida. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Rob.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Hey, man.
Totally disagreed respectfully. I've been watching games 60 years. And 95% of the time, the winning players, the MVP, the most valuable is on the winning team, 95% of the time. This was a performance of a lifetime, in my opinion. He deserved it, in my opinion. 5% of the time, it would happen for the losing guy. And it's funny you mentioned something, and you're very knowledgeable. It's funny you mentioned the World Series 1960. Bobby Richardson had 12 base hits, and Mazeroski homered in the bottom of the ninth for the Pirates to win the World Series in 60. And Richardson was the MVP. But anyway, just an example.
Well, but hold on. Let me ask you this question. What was more valuable than what Diakite did to put the game into overtime? Of everything that happened in that region, that was the most valuable play or the most important or most outstanding play made by far. By far. And that player's on the winning team.
Say that again. You're talking about the block?
I'm talking about the guy that made the shot to send the game into overtime.
Well,
without
no
that play, the game's over. So how is he not the MVP?
Well, like I say, this was a performance of a lifetime. 97%, 98%, the guy on the winning team will get it.
A performance of a lifetime is if you come out the winner, no?
Not necessarily. A performance of a lifetime was this guy last night, Edwards, and they happened to lose, but maybe 99% it would be the guy on the winning team. This was the one out of 100
that he threw. He threw the ball away down three at the end of overtime.
I could see that, but okay. No one's perfect.
I'm not asking anybody to be perfect. This isn't about, you know, about demanding perfection out of athletes. It's about thank you for the call. It's about who's most deserving. Carson Edwards didn't make a winning play at the end of overtime. A Virginia player did at the end of regulation. And by the way, that same player, if you look at Diakite and what he did in the ACC tournament compared to what he did in the NCAA tournament, I'll give Tony Bennett credit for this. Without putting that player on the court in critical situations, using him more, starting him, playing him late in games, Virginia's done. Virginia's not, they're watching the Final Four at home. A player for Virginia made that kind of difference, where he took on a bigger role, and with that opportunity, he propelled the team to the Final Four. To me, that's the definition of most valuable or most outstanding. Without that player in his performance, Virginia is done. Purdue got 42 from Carson Edwards, and it still wasn't enough. So how was that most valuable or most outstanding? He needed 45, or he needed 46 to get them into the Final Four. And I know that's a high bar to set for somebody, but if Carson Edwards had pulled that off, okay, no brainer. He's the MVP, but they lost. I just thought it was pretty black and white. This is how it works. If you win in the playoffs or in a tournament, the winning team gets the most outstanding or most valuable player, period. And if it's going to go to somebody on a losing team, they probably need to be perfect. But that's really an impossibility, because if you lost, you can nitpick and find two or three missed opportunities over the course of a game or over the course of a series. So I didn't get that. I thought they got it wrong. If you're voting on a most outstanding player award, you limit your choices to the guys on the winning team. And that's it. And that's your pool, or that's your group of players to pick from. Do you agree with me or not? 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4227. Don't get me wrong. Virginia-Purdue was a classic. It was a great game. But you won't believe what some college basketball writers are saying about last night's game. I want to share some of these thoughts with you and give you a chance to react, because they're hyperbolic. They're extreme exaggerations. We've got Duke, Michigan State later today. You're going to hear from Tom Izzo and Coach K. They had some incredible thoughts on not only today's game, but the state of college basketball. And I want to give you a chance to react to those comments as well. If you don't want to call, you can always tweet me at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I.
You're listening to the Pony Express.
It was great. Of course, it was exhilarating. It was great. And I was at peace, but there was a burning desire to get these guys and our program to a Final Four, and and hopefully beyond. The moments are good. I remember 19 years ago, I was sitting in the back of a press conference. My father took his team to the Final Four. They beat Purdue. And I memorized his quote. And they asked him, is this one of the greatest feelings that you've ever had, getting to the Final Four? And he said, from a feeling state, euphoria, yes, it is. But it doesn't compare with faith, kids, family, grandkids. Because I know what truly matters, it enables me to enjoy what seems to matter like this. I've remembered that quote, and I've tried my best to live by it. I've wanted this program to honor what's important to me, my faith in these young men through success and through failure.
Tony Bennett waxing poetic on getting to the top of the coaching mountain, finally getting to a Final Four after previous failures. Blowing a double-digit lead against Syracuse in the Elite Eight as a one seed a few years ago, and the Orange was a 10 seed, so a blown opportunity there. Almost happened again last night. It probably should have. We know what happened last year, and look, I know that this, again, is not going to win me any friends in Virginia and places like Charlottesville, but I think this is absolutely true. Tony Bennett's career at Virginia, until he wins a national championship, it'll be remembered more for the 16 seed defeat than it will be getting to a Final Four. Virginia has gone to a Final Four before. That's nothing new for this program. Ralph Sampson and those guys, they had it going back in the 80s. Virginia getting to the Final Four is not a historic achievement. There's been a long drought, and there was a dry spell, but it's not unprecedented. Now, if he wins a national championship, then it becomes the number one thing in his career obituary. National champion. But as of right now, they are still defined more by what happened last year than anything else. And they're trying to erase that, and it looks to me like Virginia has used it as motivation, and they get credit for it. They got down to Gardner Webb, and they could have said to themselves, oh, here we go again, but they persevered. And so I'm going to give them full marks for that. Losing to a 16 seed in the 30-plus year history of the 1-16 matchup, it's happened exactly one time. In order for Tony Bennett to get that scarlet letter removed from his chest, he's either got to win a national championship or, unfortunately, someone else has to suffer the same defeat. Add somebody else to the club. Until then, every time upsets and underdog stories and Cinderellas get talked about, Virginia is going to be forever remembered or synonymous with that. Teams go to the Final Four every year. Four teams go to the Final Four every year. So it's fuel for them, I get that. But it does not make up for what happened last year. It doesn't make it so, well, all is forgiven or all is forgotten. No, not for me. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. The show's called The Pony Express. Carson Edwards, in a loss, wins the Most Outstanding Player Award. Do you agree with that? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. I'll tell you something else I don't agree with. And I know, again, it's sounding like I'm a wet blanket. I did love the game last night. But can we stop with the greatest game of all time rhetoric? Seriously. From respected people, too. Matt Norlander covered college basketball for a long time on Twitter. Game of the tournament, maybe of all the tournaments, please. Greatest game of all the tournaments? Matt, I love you. You do a great job covering college basketball. Do yourself a favor and go back and watch Duke Kentucky from 92, and you tell me if that game last night was better than that one. Seriously. Jeff Borzello from ESPN, one of the greatest games in NCAA tournament history. Well, where do you draw the line there? What would be considered one of the greatest games of all time? Top 25? I'll give it that. Is that a top 5 game in NCAA tournament history? I don't even think it's the best game from this tournament. The defining game of this tournament so far, the apex or acme moment from this tournament is still Duke-UCF. It's Aubrey Dawkins playing against the team his dad played for and grew up rooting for, having a tip-in that goes in and out. That's the moment of the tournament. That's the best game from this tournament. Purdue, Virginia had the best individual performance from this tournament. But I don't know, like, if Virginia loses in the Final Four, if they get waxed by Kentucky, are we going to remember last night's game 20 years from now? I think in places like West Lafayette and Charlottesville, yeah. And I think the diehard college basketball fan will be like, oh yeah, that's right. That was a really cool game. That was a fun game. But I don't know if it gets like a special place in tournament history the way Leitner's shot against Kentucky gets brought up all the time. I mean, that's the gold standard game for me. Another game I love that is absolutely ahead of last night's game is when George Mason beat Connecticut in overtime. George Mason beats the best team in college basketball that year as an 11 seed in overtime. They're down, I think, 11 at the half, and they come back and they beat Connecticut. I mean, wild finish. There have been all kinds of buzzer beaters. I don't think I've seen one like that. But I don't know. Maybe you think I'm being a little bit too harsh. I don't think that's going to go down as one of the greatest games in the history of college, of the NCAA tournament. And unless, you know, greatest to you is like top 30 or top 50. In that case, I do think it deserves a mention. But I didn't turn off that game last night thinking, well, move over Christian Leitner. You just got one up by Mamadi Diakite. Here is Matt in Pennsylvania. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Matt. Oh, sorry. Here is Jesse in Maryland. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, man.
Hey, I tend to agree with you, I think, in terms of the most outstanding player is usually the winning player, because usually the most outstanding performance is a winning performance. But I just wanted to shed a little bit of light on why I think some people may be inclined to give it to Carson Edwards in this case. But I think it was just simply because his performance was not just outstanding, but it was generationally outstanding. And I heard some of the comparisons that you were giving earlier to the points that Glenn Rice scored, or the 3-point record. And like, so I guess a lot of these performances that it compares to or even exceeded are performances that are 20, 30 years old. And so, I mean, there's just some people who are watching college basketball, have never seen this before. And then there are some other people watching college basketball that aren't going to see this again. I mean, some people are going to go to the dirt and never see a performance like this again. So I think that's what causes people to kind of climb out of that, you know, a rigid qualification to say, well, the most outstanding performance has to be a winning performance, and give it to Carson Edwards in this case, simply because of the rarity of his performance and just how exceptional it was over the course of time.
Don't the biggest moments of the game, though, count more? He throws the ball away down 3 at the end of overtime, and a guy for Virginia makes a circus shot and had a great tournament to put them into the Final Four.
I think that's a solid point, and I have to say, you know, as I was sitting there watching it, when I saw that, I just cringed, because I wanted to see him win, because you want to see
greatness get rewarded. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, you want to see the cherry on top. And even though it's disappointing that they didn't in the end, you know, that there was a mistake at the end that may have cost them. I mean, they were.
You know, and thanks for the call. You know, to me, this is like a consolation prize moment. It's like we want to send Carson Edwards home with something. We want him to leave the tournament with something. And it can't be a piece of the net. It can't be a trip to the Final Four. So what can we give this guy to show him that what he did in this tournament was extremely memorable? Was amazing. You know, the generational point that the listener makes there, I don't know what to do with it. Zion Williamson is generational. He had an impact on college basketball that's, you know, very original, unique, and special. If Duke gets beat by Michigan State and it's a competitive game, I don't think he should get the most outstanding player award just because he was the most talented player on the court in every game. You've got to earn it, and I think the way you earn it is by winning. Here's Steve in Detroit. He's on CBS Sports Radio. Hi, Steve.
Andrew, I agree with your point on the Virginia situation 100%, but on Carson Edwards, brother, I just got to disagree a little bit. It doesn't say the most outstanding player who won or the most outstanding player for the final minutes of the final game. Without him, they wouldn't have been there. And you just said, I mean, his performance was outstanding. I mean, you score 42 points out of 75 for your team. I mean, without him, they wouldn't have even been in that situation. And as you reiterated earlier, things had to go 100% right or correct for Virginia to win that game. It wasn't just on him throwing that ball out of bounds at the end. I mean, I just don't know how a player could be more outstanding in that region than what he did, you know, with the records he set or tied and his performances and carrying the team on his back, literally for that entire regional play. I think that he deserves the most outstanding player of the tournament. I don't see it as a consolation prize. I see it as someone who did everything he could do individually. Yeah, he made a mistake at the end, but he did everything he could do to carry his team there. And, I mean, I think he deserves it.
But don't you think that penalizes the great team when you say that? Like, by that logic, when the Warriors play somebody in the NBA Finals this year, if there's a really special player on the losing team, they get the award because they probably mean more to their team than anybody on Golden State.
Well, I can agree with that, but they won the ultimate prize. They won the game, so they get their reward. This reward is nothing compared to moving on
right.
or whatever.
I got you. I got you. I got to run here. I appreciate you listening. Speaking of most outstanding and most talented, did you hear what Tom Izzo had to say about Zion Williamson? I've heard a lot of comparisons. We've heard Barkley. We've heard Blake Griffin. This is a new one. You're going to hear Hall of Fame coach size up his opponent today right after this. I'm Andrew Filippone. I appreciate you finding me today. The Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.